We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Allow me to introduce myself.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
Well, y'all done came a long way.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does, and y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
This platform, the reach y'all have that you've earned, makes space for somebody like me.
You guys have a direct line to the culture.
Oh my God, I'm on the radio with Angela, Charlamagne, and DJ Envy.
Damn. Yes, you are.
All I do is read about the Breakfast Club.
Really?
Every morning.
That's good.
You guys are trending. Every, you know, I drag my ass out of bed. I'm like, what happened on the Breakfast Club today?
Get your ass up.
Good morning, USA.
Yo. I'm DJ Envy.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God with the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
And currently we are on vacation.
But man, totally disconnected.
Yes.
We're not even really here. You think you're listening to us, but we're not.
Well, we are not. We're here in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to be playing some of our top interviews and some throwbacks. So keep it locked. Red is going to be running the boards. And we'll see y'all in the new year. Happy holidays. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Jaleesa.
Good morning, Jaleesa. Get it off your chest.
Yeah, today I just got pulled over by the cops for no reason. I'm not understanding this. This is terrible.
Where you calling from?
I live in North Carolina, but I'm from New Jersey.
Why they say they pulled you over, mama?
Supposedly that, my brake light wasn't working, but remind you, I never even hit the brake.
What's your brake
light?
That's an old
trick in, by most police officers, especially in the Carolinas.
When they need a reason.
That's right. Tell your brake light out.
He told me I was drinking and driving. I told him, I said, sir, I do not drink. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I do not drink at all. So he comes back to my car, and he gave me a breathalyzer. So I said, oh, how do I do this? He said, take a deep breath in and then blow. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Tell me why I came back 0.0. I said, see, I told you, now what's the next step from here? He gives me a summons talking about, oh, you have to go to court.
What?
Because your tail light is out and et cetera, et cetera. But
oh, honestly, come on.
I just brought the car.
It's a brand new car?
Yeah, it's brand new car.
Yeah, you could
tell. Well, that's just because he's harassing you.
But he had to give you a reason. He had to give you a reason for pulling you over. If not, he'd have been totally
wrong. He could have just let you go. Just let it go.
I just feel as though like he had to meet a deadline on making a certain amount of money. Because you know how they do in New Jersey or New York? At a certain amount, like a deadline, they have to make a certain amount. So he feel as though he can't make that amount in a certain time. So he want to write a bullshit ticket. Excuse my language.
You should definitely go to court and fight that one, Mama. And you have the paperwork that you just bought a car. Have the paperwork say he was harassing you, that you were 0.0. He's probably going to say that he's seen you swerve and you were driving erratic, so he assumed that you were drunk. But I would take that to court, Mama.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout-out, you know, to New York and New Jersey, because, you know, I'm from up top, but I live down here, and it's crazy how police are nowadays.
Okay, well, be safe out there and be careful. I'm glad you made it out of there.
Yeah, don't let it ruin your day.
Okay. Have a nice day, you guys, and stay blessed.
You too, now. Hello, who's this?
It's me. I'm not going to tell you my name right now.
All right, me. What's up?
You know you're on the radio. You can remain anonymous, ma'am.
You could have said any name, but we'll rock with you.
Okay. So I want to get off my chest the fact that Derek needs to pay me my money. I've paid the mortgage for him to live in a house. And he's not paying, and he's messing up my credit.
You got to give us some context, queen. Where you calling from?
Jersey.
And Jersey. Who is Derek? That's your baby daddy, a boyfriend or something?
Ex-boyfriend or ex-husband.
My former husband.
Oh, he owe you child support or something?
No, I owe him no child support.
No, I said he owe you child support.
He owe me mortgage money for living for free and messing up my credit.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're not going to get that money, Mama. You know that.
I'm going to have to.
He ain't got it.
I don't know. Well, he needs to get out.
She said, I'm going to get it out his ass one way or the other.
You're not going to get that money, Mama. You're going to drive yourself crazy. Just kick him out and just think about it like this. That investment you paid is an investment not to have him in your life no more.
Ever. Thank you.
Ever.
Goodbye.
But you have a great Labor Day weekend.
Enjoy it.
What up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there, let everybody know. If you have a business idea or a thing you're trying to put on, don't assume it's going to be successful because you have family and friends that are going to support you.
Wow.
Sometimes it's not how it works.
Yeah.
What happened, man?
So I have a fitness event. It's called Maxell Games. I threw it for the first 2 years in my hometown, Indiana, thinking it's going to be successful. Didn't get the turnout I wanted. Depending on my family and friends to help me put it together, it was a dud. I moved down to Georgia, and it's going to be one of the biggest fitness games down here in the state. And I'm bootstrapping it all myself. No team or nothing. I had to take the handicaps off, train the wheels off, and get it all done myself.
That's how it always is, man. You know that. You know 9 times out of 10, you're going to get more support somewhere else than in your hometown. You know that.
Shouldn't be like that, though.
It shouldn't be, but...
Yeah, and you know, you can't ever expect, and I've learned this from, you know, starting businesses, you can't ever expect the people around you that they have to do things to support you.
Correct.
You still got to act like you out there doing it on your own and put forth all the effort like you're not going to have that. And if they do support you, that's a great and amazing surprise.
That's just the way people are sometimes. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
and outrun a few.
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next-generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, Evie? This is Tyler from Chicago. How you feeling?
Tyler from the shot. What up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Peace, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, Shala? How you feeling, dog?
Blessed, black, and highly favored, King.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Hey, man, I'm glad the guys are here. Maybe y'all can help me out. I'm in a little bit of a pickle.
What's up, man? What's your pickle?
So, man, my big sister, she got into some stuff, man, last weekend. She got in trouble. A little road rage incident that went all the way left, and she ended up getting arrested and hit with a Class X felony. So, her bond was $100,000, and I got to pay 10.
Okay.
I don't want to pay 10. I got a vacation coming up in 2 weeks. And I feel like maybe a little jail time might give her a little character.
Hey, you know, no, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I went to jail one time for pointing and presenting a firearm. Well, I think the charge originally was assault and battery with intent to kill. Because I was in the back seat when one of my homeboys, you know, was right in the front and shot. And my dad did the same thing. My dad let me sit for like 45 days. Number one, the bond was high, and he was waiting for the bond to be reduced. But he was letting me sit on purpose because he said he wanted me to learn a little lesson.
Now, this is your sister's first incident?
Yeah, but she's 42 years old, though.
She's 42. What happened? She allegedly pulled out a weapon or something?
Yeah. She did. How do you know about this? Did you hear about this on Facebook?
No, I don't know. The only way you're going to get a felony for a road rage is if you pull out a weapon, brother.
Let me ask you a question. If you let her sit a little while longer, would a bond go down?
I don't think so, because she ended up getting to it with a lawyer who happened to be white, and she's black. So it's pretty bad, bro. And we got to get her a really good lawyer. Like, I'm talking about, like, a Jewish lawyer, like with a Rabinowitz at the end.
There's some good black lawyers, man. There's some great black attorneys. What do you mean?
When's the vacation?
Look, it's in 2 weeks. I'm supposed to go down to NOLA. It's my only vacation time of the year, and I'm in a conflict, man. I don't know if I want to spend this money because I don't think I'm going to get it back. I don't know.
I'm going on vacation.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Wait, Colin.
Let's go.
Now,
okay, what?
If you was in the same incident, would she bail you out?
That's the thing. I don't know.
I'm going, hey,
my twin sister, yes. But my older sister, I don't know.
What does your heart tell you to do? What is your spirit telling you to do right now? Forget, because the only thing that causes conflict is the devil.
keep my money. That's what the Lord is telling me, to keep my money, because I work hard for it, Charlotte.
Enjoy your vacation, King.
This girl is stupid.
Enjoy your vacation, King. She's 42 years old.
She ain't got no money. Do she got a crib or anything?
That's the thing. She's worked for the city. Her husband got a little bit of money, but
her husband.
Got a husband. Her
man, enjoy your vacation, King.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, I appreciate y'all.
Enjoy your vacation, King. Y'all, you figure that out when you come back from vacation. You'll have a clearer mind.
But what about if her husband ain't got no money?
We ain't got nothing to do with that. You'll have a clearer mind to think about it after that vacation.
That's sister, though.
I started to GoFundMe for her, because I didn't want to really put up that money. Yeah.
Enjoy your vacation, King. Call us and tell us about your vacation after you take it.
Damn it,
man, enjoy your vacation, man.
That's his sister.
God bless her.
She's 42.
God bless her.
She got kids.
God bless her. God bless her. She got a husband. She made a choice. Let that man go enjoy his vacation. When he come back, then y'all figure it out.
Enjoy your vacation, brother. Get it off your chest. The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Special guest in the building this morning.
Yes, sir.
We had a brother G Herbo here.
What's up, brother?
And who you got with you, G Herbo?
I got Drench, man.
Drench.
My blood cousin, man.
What's going on?
Feeling good. I'm good, bro.
Well, first of all, happy birthday. You just celebrated.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro.
And it's crazy because I thought I listened to Survivor's Remorse.
Yeah.
Then a whole other goddamn album dropped. How this thing got through an hour and some change that fast?
Oh, man, I'm excited, man. I'm just happy to be here, bro. I'm blessed, you know, to be able to put this project out. But it's more than just an album. I feel the universe and the energy, like, around it. Like, I really feel like it's a moment of triumph for me when I wasn't even trying to celebrate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went through so much recording this project and just so much in life growing as a man. And this album is a complete reflection, a complete testament of who I am and how I've grown as a man. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Now I was gonna ask you, you know, you had two kids, and I've been seeing your video of your kids beating you up, punching you in your face.
Three all together.
That's right. I was gonna ask, you know, how has that changed you?
I always say, like, the happiest I'm gonna ever be is just hanging with my kids. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I got all three of them in the house together, man. It's perfect. You feel what I'm saying? And your son, the only thing, you know, I'm thinking as I'm walking here for real, like, and I knew y'all was gonna ask me something about my kids, and the reason why I go so hard and why it's so important, because the time that I spend away from my kids gotta mean something, man. You feel what I'm saying?
Like,
I'm really sacrificing time away from my kids, not seeing them for this. You feel me? So it gotta mean something. It gotta work. You know, it gotta work for me. It gotta work for them, because that's the foundation that I'm laying. You feel what I'm saying? And my kids don't know they daddy G Herbo for real. Like, he'll sign though, because everybody, you know, we'll be walking or in the airport or something, and people be like, "Hey, yo, son, hey," you like,
"He's a celebrity.
How do you know my name?" You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He five. He don't really understand. He asks me now, like, "Daddy, am I famous?" I be wanting to tell him no, but then I'll be like, "You feel me?"
But then I'll be like, "Yeah, you told him put some on your, I'm gonna buy you some more
jewelry." Yeah. It's different, man. Like, just having them around other kids and stuff. You know, they treat them like a celebrity, but it's like, I'm saying that to say, like, I want all my kids to have foundation, balance. You feel me? So it gotta mean something. Me moving fast, I'll be on the road so much and worry about money. And you don't even realize you really raising your kids a certain way. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my kids to grow up how I grew up, for one, but I don't want them to grow up just like an industry kid or, like, you know what I'm saying? I want my kid to grow up regular, man. I want him to just have his innocence. You feel me? That
absolutely
charismatic and freedom to just be them, all my kids. You feel what I'm saying? And that's important. So, and I always used to say that I got to go hard. Well, I could have the freedom to take a year off for real, like a real year to just travel and be with my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always wanted to be that type of artist, to have that, because I feel like I ain't going to be able to raise my kids right if I'm just focused on
your son's on the
so
album, much. Too. Does he understand that? How did he react when he heard it?
He called me on FaceTime. Look, he called me first. He like, "Daddy, it's your birthday?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's my birthday." He said, I didn't miss it. I said, "No." He said, "I was so scared I was going to miss your birthday. It just dropped. Your birthday just dropped." But he talking about the album. Your birthday just came out. And he was listening to the song. He was listening to me on the TV. And he turned around. Like, it's just crazy that he really understand it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he's seeing it now. He a fan of the music. You feel? He don't just listen to my music. You feel? He just a fan of music and the culture. You know what I'm saying? But that's like, I noticed that, and that's why I don't whoop my kids. I just let them, how I grew up, that's why I'm so smart in that. I was exposed to so much, you feel what I'm saying? Like, you gotta still expose your kids to things so we can learn. Like, I feel like that's knowledge that my son growing, and I'm just be able to, like, polish it all up just by talking to them. You know, I'm going to be honest with all my kids. You feel what I'm saying? And that's how they going to have to structure that foundation, because that's how I got it. My parents was just honest with me, brutally honest.
We saw you in a protective father mode. When was that? When you was out with your child and somebody...
Yeah,
was being a little too pushy.
Yeah, yeah, the crew league. I just be trying to, like, you know, I'm cool, I'm friendly, you feel what I'm saying? But I would just be trying to, like, it ain't really that, you know, because a lot of times people be trying to go viral. And I was stopping it right then, because had it been something that would have offended me, it would have went all the way to a whole nother level. So people thought I was joking, but I wasn't mad. And then I was just showing them, like, don't play.
Especially when you with your kids.
Absolutely. You can't even play while I'm with nobody that I care about, you feel, especially my kids. So I just wanted to just let, like, just draw that line right there. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got more with G Herbo. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with G Herbo. Yee.
What do your parents have to say about this? Because I'm sure...
My mama be calling me all the time, saying she's proud and stuff like that. She just called me the other day, like, you so smart. She was watching one of my interviews and stuff like that. But she know I had to turn into this. But she said, like, she just told me this little saying she was saying. She said, you always been the captain of your ship, vessel of your soul. Because when I was 16, 15, I was really making decisions like a grown man, you know what I'm saying? And my mom was letting her 16-year-old son leave out the house, and she know I'm not going to school. She know I'm about to, you know what I'm saying, dance with the devil in a sense. And she allowed me to do that. And I feel like if she didn't allow me to do that, I wouldn't even be the man that I am right now today, you know what I'm saying? So I give credit to both parents, you know what I'm saying?
Could you have foreseen your career lasting? Really, it's been a long time already, and you're only 24 years old. Yeah. Could you have foreseen this back when you were like 16 years old, that you would have this longevity, that you would be here, you'd be moving to L.A., you'd be having this life?
I wanted to be, but I didn't know what I needed to do to get there, because like I said, I was really suffering from a mental illness. I had PTSD since I was a kid, so I really thought that I was going to be able to be in the hood and maneuver the same way I did when I was in the streets. And we all know that's not the recipe for success. So I had these aspirations, but I feel like life, going through the stuff that I'm, you know what I'm saying, like, just the life throw at you, I feel like kind of gave me the what I got now to really make sure I'm staying around. Because I thought I was going to be on my block in a Rolls Royce kicking it with 50 niggas, you know what I'm saying? You know, like,
that's big ass target on your back.
With the biggest target on my forehead. Forget my back. So I really thought that was going to be my life. But I like, now, like, probably in the past 2 or 3 years, I know this for a reason. I know I'm doing something because I'm here to stay. You know what I'm saying?
F***ed up, though, because you would think that your hood would be happy for you. Yeah. Other black men and women would be happy for you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to move away from that.
Yeah, but...
You also can't go in a Rolls Royce in the middle of the hood and just be all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's also kind of like rubbing stuff in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how some people look at it, but I always look at it like inspiration.
It's inspiration. Mm-hmm. It's inspiration because I was on them same corners. I was on them same corners. F***ed up shoes, guns, all that. I was on them same corners doing everything that they was doing. And it ain't really like... I'm humble, bro. I touch the people. Like, I pull up in a Rolls Royce truck and shit on everybody. I'm gonna pull up in a Rolls Royce truck and let the kids hop in my shit.
What did Juice WRLD mean to you?
That's my little brother, man. I think about him every single day. You know, and I be saying, like, I don't know, because I'm in New York. Y'all probably ain't gonna like me saying this, but I think, like, what Juice was to our generation, bro, and the impact that he had on us is what Biggie did for New York, for real. He had that, like, that Biggie Pac effect. You know,
why you say he means so much to this generation? What was it that gave you that feeling?
Was it the content? Was it his commercial success?
Or? It was all, but it was also his vulnerability. He was vulnerability in his music, man. He helped people. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I met that kid, he had anxiety already. He wasn't trying to chase the glory. He wasn't doing none of the stuff he was doing because he was famous. And I feel like inside out, he did what made him happy. And with him being himself, he had laid that leg. He got a real legacy that's gonna live on forever. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, so that's what I mean by that.
So how do you prevent a situation like that? I mean, you can't really prevent anything, but like, when you think about that and you process that, how do you avoid something like that happening to you?
Life is gonna be life. That's why I did go to the detox facility that I mm-hmm. went to, because I knew I was an addict. I got an addictive personality. I used to drink a lot of lean. I used to pop a lot of pills. And so I knew that the same way I was in the streets, and I knew that I could die being in the streets, I knew I could die from drug abuse. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Drug addiction. Every day I did, I'm like, of course I don't want to die. It ain't going to be me. But I knew I could. You know what I'm saying? So I moved accordingly like that. And it was really my son, bro. Mm-hmm. My son, the reason why I went.
Mm-hmm. The reason I think it's so dope when a brother like you talks about their mental health issues and goes to therapy, because that's all Juice WRLD needed. Mm-hmm. He needed someone, that one conversation to say, bro, whatever you're dealing with, the anxiety, the mm-hmm. trauma, the PTSD, go get some help.
Well, I used to talk to Juice. I remember one time we was in London, we had a conversation for like an hour just in the hallway of our hotel, and I was just telling him how to deal with everything, like his success, how to deal with being in a relationship, how to deal with, you know what I'm saying, everything with his family, really not having nothing to do with music, you know what I'm saying, just dealing with life.
We appreciate you for joining us. G Herbo, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Taking you back with the classic rewind. It's the Breakfast Club.
I thought this was a podcast.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, Charlamagne gave Donkey the Day to who?
Man, this dude from New York City, man. His name is Edwin Pedroza. Mm-hmm. And he actually stabbed a man named Jay Nunez to death because Jay Nunez held the door for him. And Jay Nunez said to him, why don't you say thank you? And Edwin said, I didn't ask you to hold the door for me. And then that led into an altercation that led him to stab Jay Nunez.
Right. So we're asking 800-585-1051. Do you expect or deserve a thank you?
By the way, that goes with that whole you're welcome thing y'all keep saying. Like, if you open the door for somebody and the person doesn't say thank you and then you say you're welcome, that's kind of the same thing as saying, hey, why don't you say thank you? Which led to this altercation, which led to this incident.
That's never happened to me. I just say you're welcome and keep moving.
Yeah, I just say
I've
you're
never stabbed anyone and had a whole altercation over it.
Oh, my God.
It. I know it's the same thing.
What are you? Is that...
Hello, who's this?
You're welcome.
This is Tanisha from VA, Hampton Roads.
Hampton Roads, 757.
Yes.
Now you walking in the store and you decide to hold open one of these doors for somebody and they don't say nothing. What you doing?
I'm letting the door go if they don't say thank you.
Oh, you gonna let the door slam right in their face?
Slam on them.
Yes, because I say thank you. When I'm in traffic, someone lets me merge in front of them.
You do the little wave, like, thank you. I do that, too.
Yes. So it's common courtesy. And if people can't say thank you, then they don't deserve the common courtesy.
But you know you can't expect you from other people, man. And sometimes when you don't get you from other people, you know, like, it just is what it is.
It's common courtesy. So I'm going to let the door go.
That's just rude.
Well, then they're even.
Not saying thank you.
And how do you let the door go before? Because if you hold in the door and they don't say thank you, they already got to get through before.
You slam on the back of them and you use them in the foot.
It's hitting those heels.
I do that too, though. I know exactly what you were talking about when you said it, because I do the same exact thing. You just let it go. They hit them right in the back of the ass. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Bianca.
Bianca, where you calling from?
I'm calling from the Bronx right now.
Oh boy. Now, somebody walk in that door, you hold that door for somebody, and they don't say thank you. What is the BX doing?
Listen, that's a problem. Like, if you can't give a person a common courtesy of saying thank you when they hold the door for you, then you are a trash human being. Bottom line.
But we know. But we know this, though. That's my point. It's like, if you're a good person, you got to just be cool with being a good person, because everybody not going to do you the way you would do somebody else.
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to throw off my whole day by not saying thank you, but I am going to look at you and mm-hmm. wonder what's wrong with you, because who does that?
And I will say,
butter and jelly.
And I will say, in this day and age, you know, sometimes people aren't paying attention. They're on their phone. They're doing things. And you say you're welcome. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Thank
yeah,
that's
different.
Yeah.
That's
and you're different. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Thank that's you. It could be just an oversight.
You know when a person is paying attention. You know. And they mm-hmm. just walk through the door like you owe them that. And they don't say thank you. It's like, what? What's wrong with you?
Exactly. Thank you, BX.
I'm going to tell you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to tell you how this altercation started once again. They held the door. I'll tell you. That'll be the moral of the story. Go ahead.
Hello. Who's this?
It's Malloy from Charleston, South Carolina.
843.
Oh, boy. I see how this is going to go. So you walk somebody walking through the door. You hold the door for them. They keep it moving. Don't say nothing.
Man, I feel just like Charlamagne. My grandma taught me that respect takes you further than money. And I tell you what, if you hold the door open for a pretty young lady with a nice boonky, that's the payoff.
Okay.
I do not see nobody reacting at all. Sometimes I even laugh. You got a type of attitude where, you know, like, it feels like I'm supposed to do it. But really, no, I do it because it makes me feel good, man.
And then, when that girl with the big bunky walk by, you say, boy, that girl fat up, ain't
he? Man, I just smile, man. You know what I'm saying? Make me feel good.
So what do you do with, like, say somebody with Charlamagne, thick thighs over there. He come through
man,
and don't
shut
say
up, man. What's wrong with you?
Nah, what I do is I'll go in first. And I just kind of hold the door and let him come in behind me, but he don't walk in before me. No.
So it depends. Okay.
It depends. All right. Thank you, brother. What's the moral of the story, yo?
I mean, the moral of the story is, man, you just can't expect things from people. You can't expect you from other people. And I'm not going to take it personal, you know, if somebody doesn't say thank you. Because I'm not holding the door for them because I want to thank you. I'm holding the door for them because I'm a nice person.
This is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes.
The chosen
Jemele
one.
Hill.
She's got a new book out, her memoir.
That's right.
Great picture, by the way.
Thank you.
How many of these did you have to pick through before you landed on this one?
You know what? And this is going to sound far more salacious than I actually mean it, but that was from a Playboy shoot I did.
What?
Yeah, so...
How'd you do Playboy?
Yeah, because Playboy, read it for the articles. It's very good writing. It's very good writing in Playboy, everybody.
Hold on, let me see what pictures on the back.
No, but they did a feature on me at some point. I think it was earlier this year. And so the photo shoot, the photographer, I believe his name is Eric Carter. He's based out of L.A. He took some phenomenal photos. So,
wow.
Because during COVID, we couldn't really work out how to, get new photos taken. So I was like, I love these from the Playboy shoot.
Did you play a joke on the husband and be like, hey, I'm doing a shoot with Playboy?
Oh, I totally did. Like, yeah. I was just like, I'm going to be in Playboy. He was like, what?
I think they don't do new pictures anymore.
No, right? I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's like more of a content-oriented.
They've always had good articles in Playboy.
I'm serious. Listen, Alex Haley wrote for Playboy. Okay, so
I don't think anybody ever went to Playboy for the articles.
You telling on yourself right now, but that's okay.
I love the title of the book too, Uphill. Clever. I mean, it's a play on your last name, of course, but I mean,
it actually isn't.
It's not.
And it was not my title idea. This was not the original title that I wanted.
What was the original title? What up, though?
313. That came in third. Okay. No, the original title I wanted was Broken Curses, because I talk a lot about my family history, family trauma, and all of that. And my mother, and I'm sure, you guys have heard this before from elders or from your parents or uncles or whatever, but the fact that there are generational curses. And my mother used to talk about, breaking those in our family. And so that's why I wanted to name it Broken Curses. But my publisher, they thought it was a little too negative, that it wasn't uplifting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my book editor, Shannon, shout out to you, Shannon, she came up with that title, Uphill.
Okay. Mm. And I said to you, The Chosen One, when we first said it, because honestly, you talk about your mom and the things that she's been through and your whole family, and it's a lot. And so how does she feel about, these stories being told?
So I talked to my mother, but we had numerous conversations about what was going to be in this book. And she knew what I was doing and the journey that I was on in writing it, and knew that I wanted to write it transparently. But honestly, Angela, that was probably the most difficult part, because I was in the unfortunate position of asking my mother about the worst moments of her life.
Mm.
And I tried to save those conversations for last, if you will, so that we could talk about maybe happier things and fun memories, just to kind of not come from a traumatic, perspective. And so it was tough. I mean, my mother told me some stories I did not even know. Right. The story that I tell in the book about her.
Don't give too much away.
Okay. But, I guess it's an example of a story. But the story I tell in the book about how one of her low points during her addiction was being
you know, caught in this drug house mm-hmm. and having to hide out from drug dealers in that house on the floor, on a rat infested floor. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that story mm-hmm. until she told me, because that happened when I was in college.
I was mm-hmm. so scared with that part. Yeah. She was underneath those dirty clothes, mm-hmm. rats running around.
Yep. And she had to stay still.
And I thought they was going to steal her car while she was inside.
Her car, as I tell, did eventually get stolen. You know, it was nothing she could do about it, but it was where she was at the time that it was stolen and what she was doing.
How did you feel having those conversations with your mom? Because that has to be emotional. I was reading some of that stuff that she went through, and I was like in tears.
It was difficult, but I think for her it was cathartic, because mm-hmm. these are traumatic incidents that, you know, during the time after she was, you know, sexually abused. And as I tell in the book, she was the victim of a violent rape. You know, people weren't going to therapy then. Like, that wasn't suggested. And as you know, Charlamagne, from your work in mental health in our community, that was something we didn't do. Mm-hmm. So imagine going through all of that with no therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's why, as I discuss in the book, she was going through very severe PTSD mm-hmm. and did not know it, because that wasn't a term then that we even were familiar with. And so, those were difficult conversations. But I think at the end of them, it was really healing for both of us, you know, to be honest. Like, I certainly knew about the trauma she experienced, but her going into detail, it gives me a better and more enriched perspective about who she is.
Yeah, I feel like it allowed you to give her more grace.
Yeah, and listen, people have been asking me about what I want people to take away from this book. It's a few things, but one of the most important things is that I want people to know you should talk to your people while they're here, yeah, right? Like, absolutely. Your mothers, your aunties, your father, whoever in your family, find out about them, because usually, like, especially your relatives and especially your parents, they lived a whole life.
That's right.
Before you even got here.
That's right.
And writing this book, it really made me miss my grandmother, who died in 2010, because I realized I didn't ask her nearly as much about her life as I should have. You know, even I know it's hard sometimes for parents and grandparents to share, you know, traumatic moments or their failures or disappointments, but it helps you see them as full people. And maybe that does allow you to give them more grace with some of the decisions they made, and even in some respects to how they've treated you.
I was going to ask, did you understand more after talking to your mom and writing this book? Because, you know, even for myself, I didn't really understand until I had kids. Mm. And then when I had kids and I'm living my own life, I'm like, that's why my dad did that. That's why my mom acted that way. But, you know, during the time, I don't want to say I hated them, but you hated what they were doing.
Right.
But now it's like, damn, I understand. So did you understand more and were able to?
You know what I understood more is why, even in present day, she lives with so much regret. We had an interesting conversation recently about that, because I forgave my mother for this a long time ago. I've let this go, because I think as a kid, you know, it was different, because her trauma was something I had to navigate around. So it felt like my childhood was being stolen from me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you carry some resentment for that. And so I let that go. I forgave her, encouraged her as she was turning her life around. You know, my mother, I mean, she's got her master's now. You know, she got her bachelor's, master's. Mm-hmm. You know, she out-educated me, mm-hmm. which I'm very, very proud that she did that. And she went back to school in her 50s. Okay. And so, you know, this has really been a remarkable turnaround for her. But yeah, I mean, once I let all of that stuff, you know, go, I think I was good with it. But I think she still struggles to forgive herself, because she feels like she missed so much. But the thing is, and it's something I wrote in the book, is that my mother was there for everything.
Right.
Like, even though, you know, she had a severe addiction, I didn't have one of those stories where my mom was missing for days, like, mm-hmm. or didn't feed me, or the lights was cut off.
And she was very protective of you.
Correct.
Still, no matter what.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. So, like, that wasn't my story necessarily, because I know some people who are the child of addicts, they do have that story. Mm-hmm. But she was there, but she wasn't always present. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And so I think because she was trying to, you know, figure out how to come out of all the darkness she was in, I had to figure out ways to navigate around her abuse, her drug abuse. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know what mood you're going to be in. I don't know what person I'm getting today. Mm-hmm. I don't know when I come home what dynamic I'm going to find. And so that for me was where the resentment was coming from, is feeling like, man, I got to do all this. You know, I'm trying to be a kid, and it's all this seriousness and darkness kind of around us. And so I think once I really talked to her about it, and we've talked throughout the years, but it definitely helped me to understand a lot of the decisions she made.
Watching what she went through, did it like scare you away from drugs and alcohol?
Oh, I mean, you know, like I've never, ever tried hard drugs in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who's done any of that. I mean, that I know of. Mm-hmm. I'm not on that scene. I'm not about that. I mean, I smoked a little weed like here and there. Mm-hmm. May have taken an edible or two. Like that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I do like tequila. But knowing the history of addiction in my family has definitely made me more cognizant of some things.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Jemele Hill. She has a new book, Uphill, that's out right now. We'll talk to her some more. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jemele Hill. Yee.
Did your mom forgive her mother? Did she have that opportunity to have those conversations?
So they didn't get to the best place. There was always unconditional love. My mother loved my grandmother fiercely. But when my grandmother made the decision not to believe her about the abuse my mother suffered at the hands of her brother, it was a fracture in their relationship that never healed. Mm. And unfortunately, even when my grandmother died, like my mother was her caretaker. You know, like she, regardless of whatever state their relationship was in the moment, my mother was never going to abandon and stop loving my grandmother. And my grandmother definitely loved her, but she herself was somebody who, you know, we used to have conversations about this. Like, she used to tell me, like, she didn't really want kids. And she felt, she was a very smart woman, you know, and she was really, she really wanted a career, like the kind of career I had, not necessarily a journalist, but she wanted a career. She wanted to travel the world, all these things. And she was born in 1925. And so education for black women was not a thing in terms of people thinking that they should be educated or that there was value in that. As you know, during those times, I mean, everything that a woman wanted to get financially or any upward mobility came through marriage. Mm-hmm. And so she was married three times, and you know, she had her three kids, but she was just in many ways trapped in a life she didn't feel like she chose. And I think because of that, she wasn't the best parent to my mother and to you know, my uncle that she could have been. She struggled a lot. They got evicted a lot. My grandmother was a functional alcoholic. Like they had some trauma, some real issues. And so she was a great grandmother to me. And my mother would still call her a great mother despite all the you know, troubles that they went through. But I just think that my mother never got the grandparent I got.
Right.
You know.
And I was asking, is there anything that you decided not to put in the book? That you was like, you know what, let's leave this out, or I'm going to take this out, or other family members are not going to like this?
I know y'all like to hear the inside. Y'all know, I know people keep it real on here, and the tea. There was one thing, I cannot tell y'all what it was. Me and my mother got into an enormous argument about this. And the thing is that it was the only thing in the book. She was, because she got an early copy, like an advanced reader copy, where you could still edit and change things. And she was hot about it. And we had it out. But the funny thing was, after our argument, she told, you know, some of her friends about it. And they told her she was tripping. And I had a time to think about it, reflect on it. I talked to my husband about it. And, you know, the thing when you write a memoir, you're writing about people who really exist. And so you have to be careful. Truthful, but careful. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's why when I talk about the abortion I had, I did not use the person's real name, because I don't know if they've told that story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if his people know or what state that's in. And I didn't want to take away that opportunity from him to tell his story his own way. So with my mother, I had to think about the fact that, what is this relationship going to look like after this book? Mm-hmm. And while I didn't anticipate my mother would stop talking to me or that, but it could be a wedge issue. And this is in print, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, forever.
It's forever, right? So I had to really think about, do I really want to do this?
I can't imagine what it could be, because there is so much.
I'll tell y'all off here.
Even look, your journal, you discussed that part.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Man, and for parents, let me ask the guys in the room, because y'all have kids. Would you read your daughter's journal if you saw it laying around?
I would tell my wife to read it.
You would?
Really? Because you don't want to read it?
Yeah, and I don't want to read it, but I do think, no, I probably would read it. Only because like I just feel like there's certain things
that's
that
such a violation.
We should know as parents. You know what I mean?
I would definitely read it.
You would definitely read it?
And I would, the only reason I say yes is because I've gone through the phone.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And when
I
but that's not the same, though.
Yes, it is. Nowadays,
I don't think the phone is like your deepest, exactly. But this is thoughts. The thing, right? They could not be true things. It could be just you.
It could
venting.
Be you
it's
just
like therapy.
Like venting.
It's like
exactly.
Eavesdropping on a therapy
but it could be
session.
Something where, you know, something's bothering you that you don't talk about.
That's
and
right.
And you're thinking about committing suicide or hurting yourself or hurting somebody. So if I can stop that, and maybe you hate me, but hopefully you love me later
right.
on because I was able to stop that. Now, if it's something else, I mind my business and act like I didn't read it. But if it's something where you could have, you know, hurt yourself, hurt yeah. somebody else, hurt a classmate.
Well, how do you look at it, Jamil?
Obviously, I disagree, and I got my ass whooped because of it, okay? And that was the thing, is that because of all the, you know, tumultuousness mm-hmm. in our life, that I needed some place to vent. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't vent to my grandmother because my grandmother, then that causes friction between her and my mother. Mm-hmm. I was too embarrassed to vent to my friends and let them in on the issues. Not like I could pick a teacher because that's a double ass whooping coming, right?
Well, you didn't have therapy back then.
Didn't have therapy. Yeah. So my journal was literally that. And so there is, I think that might be, that's a top three frightening moment of my life. When you come home and your mother is sitting there with
the
your open. Journal open.
Reading it.
Reading it.
Is what you think of me?
This exactly. I mean, that woman, I was like, you tried to kill me, my straight up.
When she read the advanced copy of the book, did it bring you back to that moment?
It was triggering writing it. I was just like, okay, because that's the worst ass whooping she ever gave me in my life. Like, there's nothing that comes
close. That was abuse.
It was. And then she, you know, years later, she was like, you know, you didn't deserve them whoopings. Well, can you go back in time and unwhoop me? Can you do this? But, you know, that was one of our actually most fun conversations because there were details of that I did not remember. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that don't really sound like me. Because she told me that, one, she was sitting there with my journal. And then she was like, let's talk about this in the basement. I was like, oh, I'm never coming back. Like
in the basement.
And she said, that's when I told her that I wanted to go live with my father. I was like, what would possess me to say that?
Right. That ass cut like, you was about to get.
Right.
You gotta get out the house.
And that's why she bagged up all my shit, put
and
it
took
in a,
you there.
Put, and took me right to his job and was like, she's all yours now. And I was like, this was a grave mistake on my part.
This man.
Yeah. I was able to keep a journal later as an adult. And I actually had an ex who read my journal too. And woo.
You need better hiding spots. That's what you
I
need.
I mean, people need to not be nosy. How about right? that?
But I guess it's your child. I understand what they said as far as...
But
like,
your man? Oh,
no,
hell
not your
no.
man. Definitely not.
All right, we got more with Jamel Hill. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jamel Hill. Now, my sports question.
Oh, God.
Draymond Green, Jordan Poole. Draymond Green punches him in the face. Can Jordan Poole stay there and play comfortably there?
I think this was evident before this incident, just because the state that Golden State is in terms of their finances. I mean, that's a hella check they're gonna have to write in luxury taxes alone if they decide to re-sign Draymond, give him a new deal rather. And so I think it was probably trending toward him not being there anyway. And you know, I know Draymond, good dude. I know people have polarizing opinions about him. That was a bad moment, obviously. Now, the only thing I debated with people who called it a sucker punch.
No,
I don't
not
know.
No damn sucker
that
punch.
Was not.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
A sucker punch, right? Like, it's just there's an aggressive moment that's happening, and I know that's your teammate, and people are like, oh, but you know, he should have recognized that's his teammate and he wasn't expecting a punch. Have you seen family members fight? Yes. I certainly have, right? So I just think that was a really bad moment for him. I think he recognizes that. I think he is honestly remorseful, but I don't see them coexisting.
Jordan Poole should have ducked, because here's the thing. If you push somebody that hard, you got to expect something in return.
Something is coming back. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is not Jordan Poole's fault at all, but I think because of the finances, he won't be there.
They're repeating this year, though. They are repeating this year.
Yeah, I was on the fence at first because I was like, I don't know, because this might be one of those. Right. Oh, no, because of this incident. Because this might want to be one of those things that, like, early in the season, there's certainly, you know, some momentum that you have now. But the season drags on. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they respond and are able to play when you have that big of a issue that's kind of right there. But these guys are veterans. I think they're hungry. I think they kind of know it's their last stand. Mm-hmm. So I expect them to repeat as well.
Ben Simmons, Russell Westbrook.
What's the question?
Ben Simmons.
Who's better? Is that what we do? You messy idiot.
What's the one word that comes to your mind when you think Ben Simmons, Russell Westbrook?
Miss. But you know, honestly, I feel really bad for Russell Westbrook because, you know, especially...
You just couldn't jump over Ben Simmons, but go ahead.
No. I mean, Ben Simmons, I think he's not as bad as people think, you know, and what you hate to see is when you look at an athlete and you could tell psychologically something's going on.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just, it feels like criticizing him, and this is not to say that he doesn't deserve, you know, some criticism, but it just feels like he's mentally worn out. That's what he seems like to me. Russell Westbrook is the same thing.
Really?
Is that because Russell is clearly frustrated. Russell doesn't want to play this shit. Like, he doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But now and this is the gift and curse of playing with LeBron. It's never going to be LeBron's fault. I'm not saying it is, but the people that play around LeBron, remember how the people used to be on Chris Bosh all mm-hmm. the time? Like, it's always somebody that when they play with him that becomes the target for all the frustration over, you know, losing, over all of this, and it's Russell Westbrook. They have made him the villain of the team. And I'm not talking about the organization itself, but fans, you know? And he's clearly struggling. I kind of agree with what Charles Barkley said. I don't really see the joy in his game like I used to. Like, he's certainly still a great athlete, but you'd be crazy not to think it's not mentally wearing on him, that he's not thinking about this every time he takes a shot. The fact that the fans are booing him. It reminds me of when Josh Smith played in Atlanta, and every time he took mm-hmm. a three-pointer, the crowd would be like, no! It's like, I feel like I hear that every time Russell, like, takes a shot. Like, people are mad, yeah. right? And so to play like that in your hometown, right? And that's the vibe. You can't tell me that mentally, that wouldn't break you a little bit.
That's interesting, because I feel like Ben is mental and Russ is just physical. Because Russ still got that energy and confidence. I just don't know if he's physically able to play the way he used to.
I mean, I sense certainly the energy. I don't mean to make it sound like he's melding in or like that, but it's like a joy that comes to playing with basketball. Mm. And it doesn't feel like he is playing with a lot of joy.
Mm.
That's all. No cowboy questions. I thought I was gonna get some.
We're going to the Super Bowl. I don't need you to tell me that we're going to the Super Bowl.
Let's go there. What do you think about my New York Giants?
I think the Giants look good. You know, I mean, I'm sure Daniel Jones is thinking about how he got slandered when they made that pick. And
the
now,
last couple of years, he got slandered.
Definitely the last couple of years, but they didn't have as good of a team, I think, as they have now. Love Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, definitely one of those coaches I've been watching for a while, and so. He felt like he would be a good fit for this team. So, look, New York football, Jets and Giants. You know, Robert Saleh, like, he was I'm a 49ers fan. He was.
How did that happen, by the way? I always wonder about that. How did Jamel Hill end up a 49ers fan?
Well, as
you going to be a Lions fan?
Yeah.
Listen, I value my mental health. Isn't that what? That's what you talk about, Char, all the time, right? It's like, mental health is wealth. For my mental health, I was never a Lions fan. And it's crazy because my husband's a huge Lions fan. He was at the Cowboys game, by the way.
He busted their ass on Sunday. Busted their ass, Wood.
And, no, I mean, so my mother, as y'all know from reading the book, you know, she spent some time in Oakland. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where I was, I think, conceived. Okay. And so because of that, she liked the 49ers. And so, you know, she would root for the Lions and for the 49ers. She really liked Joe Montana. That was, like, one of her favorite players. And so I just, you know, they were winning.
You went with that team.
Why would you not go with the winning team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, granted, you grew up in South Carolina, so y'all didn't have your own NFL team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of black fans that were not in NFL cities were Cowboys fans, even some that were. Like, in D.C., you know, it's kind of a not-so-quiet secret. There's a lot of Cowboys fans in D.C., right? And so, at any rate, so I just became a 49ers fan. I've been with him, you know, ever since. But Robert Saleh was, like, a great coach for us. So I when he was going through that last year with the Jets, I was like, this dude about to show them, because he's got the – he gets players to buy in, certainly from a schematic standpoint. Like, he's a really good coach.
What about the Cowgirls? I mean, Cowboys. What are your thoughts on them?
Offense still look a little rough, Char.
We do.
Look a little rough, but that defense, it's a championship-level defense. Yeah. And this was the kind of defense I wish Tony Romo would have had. You know, that's in no way a shot at Dak Prescott. But people like to, as you know, they like to hate on Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. But they forget that he had categorically some of the worst defenses in NFL history. And I was like, damn, if they had this defense with him, y'all might have won a couple. But
they didn't.
The Giants got the second best record in the league. You know who beat them?
No, here we go. Y'all go through this. No, I'm sure saying, on a daily basis.
I just want to make sure you know who beat the Giants, right?
Third best team.
Just let you know.
But I like the Cowboys, but you know I ain't picking them over the 49ers.
I don't know.
Right?
But you know we're going to the Super Bowl this year, though. Defense wins championships.
We know. Yeah. Like, we know that in San Francisco. That's why we had to come to Dallas last year and give y'all a piece.
That is very
okay?
true. That is very true.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us.
Go get Uphills out right now.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all.
Oh, and I just want to say one last thing about Jamil Hill. When I announced my show, she called me in the middle of the night from Portugal. You were in Portugal, right?
No, I wasn't in Portugal, but I was I was somewhere out of the country. Was I in France? Maybe I was in south of France hanging with this dude.
Oh, that might have been that.
Yeah. That's what you said.
Was that before that? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, you were here? Okay, so maybe I was, but I was gone.
You were gone.
No, in the middle of the night,
she was like, I just want to say congratulations. Yes. I was like, that is so nice.
Yeah, and no, Angela,
I appreciate it.
I'm really proud of you for doing your thing. And as I wrote in the note to you in the book, is that you, you know, the agency, you betting on yourself, like, that's very, not just admirable, but it's very inspiring for somebody like me who, throughout this season of my career, that's what I've done, is, like, bet on myself. So I love seeing other women do, you know, the same thing.
Well, Jamel, thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen. Y'all, get off my girl.
Let me tell you something. I was late. Envy was stressed because he had to do my job.
Because she was late this morning. What they do.
But I'm you like, want me to leave? Go. I didn't show up.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Thank you,
Go
guys.
Get uphill. Jamel Absolutely. Hill, her memoir's out right now.
That's right. I'm trying to be a bestseller, y'all.
That's 45.
Where's Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, donkey of the day goes to a 31-year-old man from Connecticut named Ferenza Murphy. Let me be the first to admit that this young man is the reason your Uncle Sharla, no matter how hard he tries, can't stop saying the word nigga. Okay? Maybe the adjustment that needs to happen is we don't refer to people as the N-word, but we just refer to actions as niggatry. That way, they can apply to all races, colors, and creeds. But I'm saying all that to say there's absolutely no way you can listen to this story and not say this, nigga. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Let me hear Uncle Ruckus real quick. Just play it for me one time, Reg. Let me set the tone.
I want to play a game.
Shut up.
That is powerful niggatry at work here.
Yes, it is. Now, Ferenza was a fugitive, and he was on the run from Connecticut authorities. See, Ferenza was serving a 4-year sentence on a robbery charge. Don't get me wrong, one day in prison is one day too long, but a 4-year bid, people will take that stretch in a heartbeat. Okay, that's a high school term. Freshman to senior, bong, 4 years, done. Okay, that's one presidential term. Long time, no doubt. But ask someone doing 10 years, ask someone doing 20, ask someone doing life, how does that compare to 4 years, all right? I bet you they'll snatch that 4 years in a heartbeat. But Ferenza was serving a 4-year sentence, and clearly he couldn't stand to be there because he was in a halfway house in Bridgeport when he left without permission. Now, what's confusing to me about this situation is if he was in the halfway house, doesn't that mean he was on the way home? I thought the point of a halfway house was that you were halfway home. They send you to the halfway house to get you ready to get back adjusted to society. So just a little more patience, he would have been home. But no, not Ferenza. Outside was calling. And when outside calls, for some reason, niggas pick up on the first ring. Okay? So Ferenza Murphy left without permission, and he got caught. Would you like to know how he got caught? Let's go to News Observer for the report, please.
According to authorities in Georgia, a man was arrested at his own birthday party weeks after he's accused of escaping a halfway house in Connecticut. Deputies arrested Ferenza Rakeem Murphy on Saturday, October 1st, at a family member's home in McDonough. The 31-year-old, who deputies said was serving time on a robbery charge at a Connecticut Department of Correction halfway house in Bridgeport, was there to celebrate his birthday. Murphy was setting up for his party when deputies arrived after they received a tip. Murphy was accused of leaving the halfway house without permission and had been on the run since August 8th. He was booked into the Henry County Jail and faces additional charges.
Jesus, I understand. I understand why you don't want to come back. For what? For what? A party, man. Not just any party. His own birthday party. Ferenza escaped from jail and then got arrested at his own birthday party. Police say they got a tip. By tip, do they mean invite? I'm assuming an invite. I can't prove this. I have no facts to stand on when I say this, but I know that this party was promoted on Facebook. If it wasn't on Facebook, it was on social media somewhere. I just know it was. Somebody DM'd me the invite. I know they had it. He probably sent it to his close friends. He probably thought he could just send it to his close friends on Instagram and nobody would be the wiser, okay? Probably promoted it as a welcome home party. I don't know. All I know is he escaped from jail in Connecticut and decided to go to Georgia and have a birthday party at a family member's house, and now he's back locked up. Now, Ferenza has been on the run since August 8th. He would have eventually gotten caught, guaranteed, but having a birthday party while you're on the run as a fugitive, pretty sure probably led to him getting caught faster. Okay, Ferenza, all you had to do was that 4-year bid, and you could have had all the cake, all the Casamigos, and all the chicken wings you want. But no! You just had to submit to your lower will, your lower nature, and participate in N-word activities. Please let Remy Ma give Ferenza Murphy the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw, you stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
And I know Jesus not coming back, and I'm pretty sure Jesus regrets dying for 95% of you, okay? So he's not making that mistake again, all right? And I'm really trying not to say the N-word anymore, but you have to tell me a word that describes this kind of behavior better. Play Uncle Ruckus one more time, Red. Just...
That is powerful niggardry at work.
That's all you can say in regards to a situation like this. But I will start referring to the actions of people as niggatry instead of referring to individuals as niggas. That's my evolution with the N-word.
Rested in Connecticut, had a party in the A.
All right, who said the A now? See, there you go making up stuff. All I said was Georgia. Anybody said nothing about A?
Sound like the A to me.
Georgia's a big place. Could be Savannah. There's a lot of places in Georgia you can have a good time.
After party at King of Diamonds. I know.
King of Diamonds. Ain't that Miami?
They got one in Atlanta, too.
Oh.
Shout out to Akinelli. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's that time again.
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, bro.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask CNE. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, we're going to help you out. We're going to get through as many as we can. Hello, who's this?
What's up, DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God? It's a mailman.
This guy, how old are you, brother?
I'm 46.
Now, you're dating a 19-year-old girl?
Lord have mercy.
No, man. Don't play me like that. No, I'm 19 years older than us.
Oh, you're 19 years
old. How you do this better than the rumor report? This was a great rumor you just started on this poor young man.
So you're 49 and you're dating a young lady that's 19 years younger?
No, man. Listen, I'm 46.
Okay.
She's 27.
Okay.
That ain't too bad.
Yes, that is.
It better than 19.
You know, and it is better than 19. I met her through work and stuff, you know what I'm saying, over time. And I started digging her. We've been kicking it for about 7 months or whatever. But sometimes I be having feelings kind of funny because of the age difference. I don't look my age, you know.
Yeah, you sound it. Because you cracking jokes. You be talking to her and you be like, you so smart. You a regular Doogie Howser. She be like, who the hell is Doogie Howser?
Doogie Howser.
you tell me you're saying.
But if you feel her, who cares? You know, who cares what people think, bro? If you feeling her, she feeling you. You just take your Viagra, your Levitra, the blue pill, and just do what you got to do.
No, I'm A1 on my end.
You lying.
So you got to. I just feel like that sometimes.
You got to be yourself. That's your own insecurities because you old as hell and she young and you trying to keep up. You know what I mean? That's your own insecurities. You got to get out your own head if you're going to be with that young girl now.
I feel you on that.
All right. Well, good luck,
man. She's going to leave you, though.
Levitra, the blue pill, Viagra. You got to.
You know she's going to leave you, though.
Because you got to keep her.
I need that Al Green and that Henny.
You riding around with JLX. See that? Al Green. She want to hit Chris Brown. You listening to Al Green. I love Al Green. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all arguing about whether to listen to the new Act 2 or the Savage Mode 2. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about the trees. I ain't talking about no Al Green singing.
Oh, I didn't know y'all called it Al Green. See, that's my old ass. I'm sorry. I didn't know that's what y'all call weed nowadays. I didn't know it was called Al Green. I had no idea.
That's what they called it back then.
Okay. Yeah. Does she know who Al Green is?
Yeah, she know who Al Green is. She should.
Everybody no, ain't no should. She should. She think Al Green is a strain of weed. And y'all call it that because the weed is green. She has no idea that that's an actual singer.
Right.
But good luck, brother.
I appreciate it, though, fellas.
Like he said, don't let your insecurities bother you, man. If you like that girl, she like you. Just enjoy.
All right, for sure.
Age is too hard to get over. I know that, you know, you can't help who you grow in love with. Mm-hmm. But when you're damn near 50 and a woman's just 27 years old, what the hell are y'all talking about? Seriously. Like, what are y'all talking about? She can't name none of the members of Wu-Tang Clan.
Nope.
She don't remember no episodes of Cosby Show.
Nope.
Like, what are y'all talking about?
She can't tell you about New Edition.
Nope. Nothing. Nope. The only thing she knows about New Edition is the movie she's on BT.
Right. Yeah, she does.
That's it.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's Crystal.
Hey, Crystal. What's your question for CNE?
All right. So I have a sister. We're 14 months apart, really close. So we went on a trip to the Philippines in December, but 2 weeks before the trip, I got fired from my job. Great job. Then it was there for 10 years. So I never gave her the money for the trip when we came back. So I didn't see her. I was in my feelings about being depressed, you know, lost my job or whatever the case was. So fast forward, she tells me that, you know, I took advantage of her. And I'm like, take advantage of you? You're my sister. Like, we're adults. Nobody, neither one of us, well, she's not pressed for the $1,200. And, you know, I was just kind of in my summers. I have 2 kids. I have a mortgage. I lost my job. And we're in the middle of Corona now. So now she's mad about the $1,200 and she feels that I took advantage of her.
I agree with
her. $1,200.
No, that's her sister.
I agree with her.
No, that's her sister. She got a hold of that.
Why you ain't give her money back?
Because she lost her job. She got 2 kids and a mortgage.
She shouldn't have went to the Philippines then.
But the trip was already paid for.
Yeah.
Clearly it wasn't.
She paid for it.
Did she tell you that she was paying for you, or did she pay for it with the assumption that you was going to pay her back?
I was going to pay her back.
Things happen.
Exactly. So
that's
I agree
my
with her.
Sister. Things nope. happen. She
but
got
I
a job.
I lost my job.
That's right.
Okay.
Your sister got to
so
take
why
that L.
She have sympathy for me.
Because she see you out here still buying stuff. She see you out here still living. You still doing something that make her know that you got that $1,200.
When's the last time you went out, mama?
Well, I just came back from Jamaica.
See what I'm saying?
You're taking advantage of my
ass.
I know it. You should have gave her that money back before you went to Jamaica. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Huh? I gave it to her.
Oh, you gave her the money back?
I gave her money back. But she feels that I took advantage of her, but not with just one situation overall over our lives. But I feel like she's just mean and insensitive. And based off of those feelings that I have, I don't really want to have a discussion with her anymore. Like, I love my sister dearly, but I don't want to be friends with her anymore.
Well, if you took advantage of her. She should be mad at you.
Well, if you gave her the money back, then she's just being mad at you for being mad. But she probably just...
But how long did it take to get her money back?
That's right.
Before you went to Jamaica?
It is kind of slack that you didn't give her money back. You was just out here balling. Don't you hate when somebody owe you money and they just out here balling?
Y'all are missing it. I have two kids. She has an Audi.
But you went to Jamaica.
She said, I got two kids and she got an Audi S7. Listen. You're wrong. I'm honest with you. You're wrong.
But I gave it to her.
No, that's good. So she needed need to get over it. You're wrong.
You foul.
Are you wrong? She's wrong.
All right, we got more coming up next. So don't move. Happy holidays. Don't go anywhere. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
For me, it's that time again.
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up. Roll.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask C&E. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can hit us right now. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Kenny. How y'all doing? How your kings doing?
What's up, brother?
Kenny.
Kenny, oh, my bad.
Yeah, so what's your question, brother?
My question is, I'm trying to spice up my relationship, and it's my girl's birthday. I have two trips. I have a trip to Delray Beach, Florida, and I have a trip to Orlando, Florida. Do I need to do anything more?
Yeah, I mean, it's more than just a vacation, more than just a trip. What you going to do when you get there? You got flowers ready. You got the bubble bath ready. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? What are you going to do different to be like, damn, my man really loves me? Like, when's the last time you licked the boonky?
I don't know. It's been a while.
See?
First of all, you don't love that woman because you're taking her to Florida. The craziest people in America come from the
There's
Bronx
nice
and all of Florida.
There's some nice spots in Florida, man.
You don't love that girl.
Charlamagne, I'm taking her to Discovery Cove in Orlando, and then I'm going to Delray Beach. We're going to be in the beach house.
Yeah, that's good, man. But you got to spice it up. You got to make sure that you into her sexually. When's the last time you gave her a massage? You licked her from head to toe. When's the last time you did any of that?
I gave her a massage the other day.
Hire somebody to do that. You see them guys on Instagram that be bear hugging them girls and cracking their backs?
You better not.
Oh, no, I'm not hiring nobody.
Nah.
Hey, I want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to the Trap Nerds for coming on my podcast, man. Thank you, Trap Nerds.
Salute to my guys, the Trap Nerds. You can listen to the Trap Nerds podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, man. And my guys.
Now let me ask you a question. You talked about spicing it up. I tell you what you need to do. You make sure you got your flowers. You make sure you got little things that she enjoys. Maybe things from her past that she just likes. Her favorite nail polish, whatever it is. Her favorite slippers. It ain't gotta be expensive. You make sure you take care of her sexually. But you ain't even shout her out, bro.
Don't shout her out. Her side dude might be listening. Listen, what's the occasion?
No, side dude. Shout out to my girl, Jasmine Williams. I love you, baby.
What's the occasion?
Birthday and just spicing it up.
Just want to show love. All right. Lick the boogie.
Make sure you go to finger licking when you're in Orlando, too. Make sure you go to the finger licking in Orlando.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony. What's your question for C&E?
Okay, just a little rundown of what happened yesterday. I just need y'all advice on what to do, how to handle the situation.
Uh-huh.
Basically, my five-year-old, he's in kindergarten. He was at school yesterday, and I got a text from his teacher saying that he's coming home with the red face. You know, mind you, they get green faces, you know, when they do good. She said that he's coming home with a red face because he got upset with a little girl at school because she didn't want to talk to him. And he told her at lunch that he was going to burn her house down. And she said that these days you just can't make remarks like that. And he was sent to the principal's office. And she just wanted to let me know and all that kind of stuff. But I do kind of honestly feel like that was a bit much. Like, you know, he's only five, for one. Like, he's not going to go steal my car and go burn up somebody's house. But how would you handle this if this was your child?
Well, I think that he's heard you talk about them guys' house you going to burn down one too many times. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me, ma'am.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I have not said
I would just say keep this in mind. It's protocol now. With everything going on in the world and all these mass shootings, it's protocol. Teachers want to make sure they save their job. So no matter what happens, if they hear this, that's protocol of what they have to do. But you just got to tell your son, just look, like, hey, you can't make these remarks because people take it serious. I know you're not serious. I know you. This is something you've seen on TV, but you can't say things like that because you can get in trouble. And hopefully he understands that. But you ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah, but the teacher got to have more grace, too,
nah,
bro.
It's protocol, though. This is what they do
the teacher
now.
Got to have more grace. It's a damn five-year-old. Like, you know what I mean? A five-year-old not about to go out and commit an act of arson. Like, the teacher got to have a little bit more grace. The teacher should actually reach out to you and be like, hey, I just want you to know this is what your son said today. You know, I don't want to see him getting any more trouble.
They can't. You can't
you know?
Do that.
But
because there's cases like, there was a case, I think, a couple of months ago where a five-year-old bought a school and shot a two-year-old. So there's cases like that where they got to follow protocol. Now, she might not believe it, but she has to do it just in case to make sure everything is all right. So I'm not mad at the school doing that because they got to follow protocol. It's not like they took the kid and beat him outside in front of everybody. They just
but now that kid got a stain. Like, he got a red face.
No, it's no stain.
And he got a red face, and people in that school probably looking at that five-year-old different. Like, watch that one. That one said he's going to burn the house down. You know,
exactly.
Like.
Exactly. And my thing was, they was in a cafeteria, and the little girl of another color, I'm just going to say that.
White.
Supposedly, basically. I'm black. My son's black. Said that she just went up and told the teacher, and they never like asked him for his side of the story. So basically, they're just going by what she's saying. So I kind of
Lord have mercy. Well, question: did he even say that?
Exactly. That's what I want to know. I asked him, and he said he didn't say that.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Now you got to go to school a while.
That's
out
what
now.
I'm saying. We don't even. I'm like, I haven't heard you say that he said that. So that's like.
Right, and I, you know your kids, you know your kids or whatever, you know when they're lying, you know when they're telling the truth. I honestly don't think he said that.
Well, mama, if he didn't say it, if he said it, he didn't say it, if you get my drift. That boy didn't say that. Nobody heard him say that. Don't lie on my kid.
Period.
Period. So you need to go to school and have that conversation. Did y'all hear my son say it? Because my son didn't say it. And who you going to agree? You going to listen to my black son or that white girl? Who are you listening to? Because now I'm feeling a little racism.
They going to listen to the white girl. You know that.
No, not in this day and age.
Exactly.
Not in this day. Oh, do I need to get my lawyer involved? Okay.
Envy, you just said report the threat.
Because I thought he said it. But if there's
because you assumed he said it because he's a little black boy.
No, I did. I assumed he said it because he never said he didn't say it.
He's lying.
No, I'm not lying.
He heard you say little black boy and he just see that nigga did it.
I thought they heard him. But if nobody heard him, he ain't say it. You go, you take that to the grave.
Nobody heard him. Nobody heard him with their own ears. Nobody heard him directly.
He ain't saying that, mama.
So he shouldn't be punished.
He shouldn't be punished.
So I didn't whoop him. I didn't whoop him or anything. And then I texted her back and I was just like, I do apologize for him making those remarks and it will be handled expeditiously. Thanks.
Well, you shouldn't have wrote that. You should have said he didn't say it. But I would stick with he ain't say it. Nobody heard him say it. He ain't say it.
Period.
All right, mama, have a good one. All right, we got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Did you know?
It's that time again!
Ask Charlamagne and DJ Envy anything.
Pick it up. Roll.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask C&E. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call us. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Anonymous.
Anonymous,
you do not have to be anonymous on the radio. All you got to do is say another name,
bro. You could
have
made up a name, but what's your question for C&E, bro?
We
can
still search the name. Either way, but look, I was delivering food, right? And knew the person I was delivering food to, but it was an old co-worker stuff. And the dude, the boyfriend, came out and started like, what's up, what you saying with my girl? And he stole on me. I'm literally delivering food, like DoorDash and all that. Dude stole on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out, should I get a restraining order? Should I retaliate the hood way? Like,
man, shut up. That man punched you in your face right then and there. You ain't did nothing. You ain't going to do nothing after the fact. Leave it alone.
Yeah, why just don't go back to that house, bro.
That word is born. You better stay away from that man. Hey, that punch, hurt?
Everything about him.
Hey, did that punch hurt?
Nah.
Don't lie now. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So why you ain't hit him back then if the punch ain't hurt?
Because it was like Lily stole on me, then Lily just put me in a chokehold. And then
he put you in the dope feet. So you ain't he beat you up then. He beat you up. It's okay.
So when you got back up, what happened?
Lily, he was gone. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So when you woke up, he was gone.
Yeah, after you woke up, he was gone. He ain't gonna stick around when you've been asleep for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
hey,
leave that man alone, man.
In the words of Craig's daddy and Friday. Okay, so you win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day.
Huh? That's up, I retaliate.
No, don't
man,
retaliate.
You ain't gonna do nothing. And stop. Why you want to retaliate?
Leave him alone. He leave beat it, you
exactly.
Up.
Exactly.
I already got people on his head. What you saying?
How old are you? How old are you? How old are you? How old are you?
That's anonymous too.
Well, listen. I was born in 1978. I turned 44 yesterday. We come from an era where if you lose a fist fight, you just lose a fist fight. Leave it at that.
Just leave it alone, bro.
I ain't that old.
Okay. Well, listen. This if you want to retaliate, ask him for a fair one then.
Oh, that's a bet.
He better not do that. Nah, don't do that, cause he bro.
For me,
bro. Right. Trust me, bro. He whooped your ass one time.
That's right.
It ain't worth it. Cause think about it like this, right? Think about it like this. You retaliate. You do something, now you going to jail.
If it's a fair one, I'm cool with that, though. As long as it ain't no...
He lost this one and dude put him in a dope fiend.
And he just going to get put in the dope fiend again.
He lost, man. He lost.
You going to train? You going to train before the next fight?
Now, look. It ain't no training for this.
You need training.
The man beat you. It's okay, man.
You need training.
Listen, I done got punched on camera, bro. You done seen the can I get a drop. I ain't got no time for retaliation. Who cares?
We too old. Let it go,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, let it go.
People already know who you is.
That's even worse.
Exactly. I got punched in the head and got seen by millions of people. You think I'm sitting around?
Regular people out here. You know what I'm saying?
Let it go.
All the more reason for you to let it go, sir.
All the more reason for me to retaliate.
No, why?
You gonna go to jail? You gonna retaliate? You gonna hurt him? You gonna go to jail? Is it worth it?
No, we don't know if you gonna. I doubt he's gonna hurt him.
Now,
okay. So let me ask you a question. If you go get a fair one, you and him just fight straight up. If he beat you again, then what?
They gonna go for a third time.
I'm going to call it a fair fight.
You going what?
That's honest. I'm going to call it a fair fight. Dude, snuck.
All right, I'm going to tell you what to do then. Because you said you either want to fight again or you want to press charges, right?
Oh, ain't no pressing charges.
You just said you want to get a restraining order against him.
So to get a restraining order, you got to press charges.
Oh, my bad.
I want you to press charges. No. I'd rather you press charges,
we'll get
bro.
A restraining order.
Yeah, I'd rather you get a restraining order.
Nah.
You're about to lose your job, right. And you're about to go That's to jail right. for doing something stupid. And leave
that,
it alone.
That man done beat you up so bad you wanted to get a restraining order, so I don't know why you acting all tough now. Let it go, bro.
Have a good one, man. But
no, don't hang up on this man yet. You going to let it go?
Maybe.
Do you have kids, bro?
Nah.
Man, let it.
Your mom and daddy going to have to visit you in jail because you're going to do something stupid. Leave it alone. Oh, man, we win some, we lose some. Let it go.
Did your girl see you get beat up?
Nah.
All right, then. So let it go. Nobody saw it. Nobody even knows. That's why. And you anonymous. Nobody knows this happened, bro. If it's not on video, nobody saw it. Let it go.
Change the narrative. Tell everybody you beat him up. Nobody seen it.
Word up. You could have called up here and lied to us.
Yes.
All right, we'll see.
Ain't no we'll see.
Don't do nothing stupid, bro.
God bless you, man.
Goodness gracious.
Sending you healing energy, man.
He got knocked the fuck out.
The man done hit you and choked you out. And you talk
you
about
got
you.
Knocked
you,
the, fuck out, you man.
The first thing he did when he called up here was said, should I get a restraining order or retaliate? You know how bad somebody got to do you if you want to get a restraining order?
Just get the restraining
Just
order.
Just relax, man. Come on, let it go.
Breakfast Club, good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
Hey, the positive note of the day is simply this. Life is ironic. It takes depression to know happiness. It takes stress to understand calm. It takes absence to value presence.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.